from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
It's the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, there we go.
Happy birthday to you.
Yep.
It's G's birthday today, everybody.
Hey, thank you.
How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. It's birthday. And people keep asking me, they don't text me from out of town. What you doing today for your birthday? Working.
I know, put so much pressure.
Huh?
Like, everyone, what are you doing? Like, going home?
After I work
all day?
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, let's be real. Is this really work? I get to hang out and talk to you and everybody else.
We're going to make it an extra
special show today?
Well, are you waiting with bated breath for light rail to the east side? Sully's going to be joining us at 9:30 with the very latest on that massive project. It's always fun to have Sully on the show.
Okay.
And then here's a question for all of you. What is the business with the best reputation in Western Washington? There is a new survey, and I'm going to guess that a lot of you won't be surprised by the company that made it at the top of that list, but I'm going to say right now, I think it's overrated.
Okay.
What company do you think is on the bottom of that list? Text us on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
Okay, Ursula, let's get to it. Your top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40 Suzu in Auburn.
And we usually emphasize local news in our headlines, but right now, the big story is that O.J. Simpson died last night at the age of 76. His family says he succumbed to his battle with prostate cancer. CBS Morning host Gail King has more on the legendary football player and his fall from grace after he was accused of double murder.
His career fell apart in 1995 when he was accused of stabbing his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and a friend of hers, Ron Goldman, in her home in Los Angeles. He was arrested after a long, infamous police chase that lasted for hours. After one of the most controversial trials in recent memory, Simpson was found not guilty of both murders. Goldman's family then sued O.J. Simpson, and a jury ordered him to pay $33 million in a wrongful death judgment. But that was not the end of his legal troubles. In 2008, he was convicted in a kidnapping and robbery scheme involving some of his own memorabilia. He served 9 years in prison before he was paroled in 2017.
So you were actually the one who came into the newsroom and said O.J. died. And all of us had very strong reactions to that news. What was your reaction?
Bah. That was mine. I don't have any sympathy when it comes to O.J. Simpson. I have none at all. I think O.J. Simpson is and was a narcissist. I think O.J. Simpson was found not guilty in the court of law. However, he wasn't found innocent either. I think he was responsible for the death of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ron Goldman. And by the way, Ron Goldman's name doesn't get brought up enough. Ursula, I think he was a scumbag. And I don't feel bad saying that. He got away with something, and I was never able to forgive him for that. One. Two, here is someone in the 80s, and I know he played in the 70s, but in the 80s, when he was doing Monday Night Football, when he was doing Hertz Rental Car, anything
huge
that was surrounding NFL football, OJ was huge. And then you guys remember when he made it to Naked Gun. I'm just going to say this. If you're hearing like, gee, you're kind of harsh. Well, let me tell you why. O.J. Simpson, I looked to O.J. Simpson before I looked up to Michael Jordan. O.J. Simpson, for me, was everything. He was my father's favorite. Every time I saw him on TV, I thought he was a superhero. So for him to do what he did just crushed me. And the old saying, like, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes, or if there's ever been a time in your life that you've looked up to someone only to find out sheer disappointment. Well, that was me for OJ. And so that's how I'm feeling. And that's why I sound so harsh right now.
The guy was a psychopath. He literally got away with murder. And his charm and his celebrity status helped convince that jury that he couldn't have possibly done something so heinous. He was so convincing, though, gee, that
he wrote a book.
And he even believed himself.
I wrote a book, If I Did It. if that ain't a narcissist, what is? Like, the dude wrote a book, Ursula, called If I Did It.
Yeah, but didn't they not end up publishing that? I mean, I think that there was a lot of controversy.
All of the books got taken away, yeah. And then the family got the rights to the book.
Yeah.
That's how the book got published.
Yeah, so, but listen to this excerpt of an interview that he did for the Fox documentary, OJ, The Lost Confession. And in it, I had to go, because I was asking Paul to find a soundbite where he talks about this, because again, for the longest time, he would sound like he was convinced that he hadn't done it. But in this interview, he appeared to admit that he killed Nicole and Ron, but he said he was speaking hypothetically.
Things got heated. I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And this guy kind of got into a karate thing. And I said, well, you think you can kick my ass? And I remember I grabbed a knife. I do remember that portion, taking a knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember, except I'm standing there and there's all kind of stuff around. And
what kind of stuff?
Blood and stuff around. You know, I hate to say this, but this is not hypothetical. I'm sorry.
So if there's anybody, I want to be clear on something, because I know some of y'all might write my bosses and say, I can't believe G. Scott. Write them. Tell them I said it. Tell everybody. You are listening, and we're listening right there to a narcissist. Someone who tells you, well, hypothetically, I'm going to reenact what I think possibly would have happened. Who does that?
Yeah.
A narcissist does. That's who does something like that. So yeah.
It's just interesting. I cannot even imagine anyone who would still to this day believe that he actually was innocent. Mm-hmm. But I don't even think he believed it at the end.
Today's going to be a hot day for OJ.
For sure. So I'm going to talk now locally, because this was a story that made national headlines. A Seattle homeowner was homeless. Remember this guy? He was living in his van while his delinquent tenant stayed in his house rent-free for many months on end.
I just want my house back. I'm not sleeping. I'm sick of living in my van on couches. I just want to be back in my house.
So we had Jason Roth on our show. He was speaking to Cairo 7 TV there, and he says he couldn't kick the guy out because King County has a backlog of 600 eviction cases, and his tenant, Kareem Hunter, was also illegally listing Jason's home as a short-term rental on Airbnb. But Jason didn't get any of that money, even though his tenant owed him $30,000 in back rent.
And he stayed, and he wasn't making any efforts to move, and he had all the warnings from the sheriff's department, and at that point, it was in their hands.
Okay, there is some good news, no.
Okay.
Now,
I hope because you started off the show.
Yeah, I know.
We need some good news. Come on, Ursula. Yeah.
So there is an update.
Okay.
Sheriff's deputies were able to evict the tenant, but Jason lost more than $80,000 in back rent and legal fees. So as part of this agreement, or whatever you want to call it, the tenant's taxpayer-funded attorney was able to wipe the eviction from his record.
On to the next one. He doesn't have an eviction on his record. He's going to do this to someone else. So even though it's a win for me, it's not a win for the whole situation.
Okay, Jason's going to join us actually in the 10 o'clock hour, so we can get more details on this. Because, I mean, the twists and turns of this case are just really kind of gut-wrenching and very frustrating.
Yeah, this Kareem dude who was living in that house, this is an awful story. And on why you tried to, you know, bring some good news, at least, and he's going to join us at 10 o'clock. He's gotten into his house, but there's been so much money lost in the tune of what it says in the article of $80,000. Now, stop right there. I want you just to imagine you yourself, someone messes you up for $80,000, and then the deal that is made is, okay, he's going to finally leave. And by the way, he didn't leave on his own accord. It took the sheriff showing up to even do that. But before he gets ready to leave, let's make a deal. The deal is it's going to be not on his record. So this guy is going to have the opportunity, Ursula, to do this to someone again because it is not going to show up on his background. Think about that for a second.
Somebody,
and I don't know if you're listening right now or somebody that's not listening, somebody is going to rent this guy a home, and he's going to possibly, most likely, do the same thing to them, because why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he do it again? He has no incentive to do the right thing because we are in a situation. You know what? Today's been a bad day for me already.
Okay, wait, birthday. It's early.
It's early.
Well, let's just point out a few things. But these are things that if you raise them to the surface, and Cairo 7 TV's done a great job.
Shout out Jesse Jones.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Jesse. So a couple of things.
Okay.
First of all, Jason has had to pay all this stuff, his legal fees out of pocket. This guy, Kareem, gets an attorney provided to him, taxpayer funded, and he gets to go scot-free, basically. Doesn't have to pay. I mean, so like how's this guy going to get his back rent? And then on top of that, the backlog in King County, according to the Rental Housing Association of Washington, is 6 months when we're talking about backlog when it comes to evictions. So it really, the other day we were talking about this No Squatters Rights in Washington initiative that's being drafted.
Right.
Do you see why there would be some reason to support that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And
Ursula, stories like this right here. So there's somebody right now that's just trying to work every single day to do the best that they can, and they're barely making it. Meanwhile, there's people like this who game the system, and the system basically is there for them, helping with their legal fees. You have cost the homeowner $80,000, but before you leave, our tax money is going to help this person make sure that an eviction is not on his back, on his report going
backwards.
Forward. It is just backwards. And then, again, so we wonder why we have so much problems in this country, because people that are trying to do the right thing are just
What's going to end up happening is, and some folks have spoken regarding this, is that people who are these small-time renters have these rental units are going to say, you know what, it's not worth my risk. I'm just going to take it off the market. Okay, we're going to move on, though, because we do have some new details this morning about that University of Washington football player who is accused of raping two young women. 18-year-old Tyba Rogers was apparently allowed to continue playing football last fall while police were investigating him for this first sexual assault. And then he was still on the team as he was being investigated for allegedly raping another woman. It also turns out that Rogers is accused of assaulting a bicyclist in the university district last month. So as of this morning, it's unclear if Rogers is still attending classes at UW, but the Seattle Times reports that he is still on the online team roster. He did take part in spring practices as recently as April 4th. Police arrested him just last Friday morning near Husky Stadium. He's now charged with second and third degree rape. I'm sorry, I'm hitting you with all sorts of heavy duty stories. But with these additional details about the timeline, should he have been benched while this investigation is underway?
Yes. Yes, clearly. Clearly, yes. And I told you all yesterday that I got some background on there are some people that are close to this team that said that there was red flags about this guy from the very beginning. In the article, they talked about how he was suspended in the fall for something. Don't know what that was. But anyways, during that time,
it's entirely been separate from everything.
From this. But it was said to me that about him that it was a red flag for this guy to even be on the team in the first place. So wait, you just said something new that I didn't know. I want to make sure I heard you clearly. And Ursula, you be on the news. You mean to tell me that this young man was practicing as early as April 4th?
That's according to the Seattle Times. Yes.
Wow. I tell you what.
So that was Thursday.
If I am a fan of the University of Washington football program, you have got to be embarrassed. You've got to be embarrassed from what Kalen DeBoer did as head coach for allowing this to continue and for the continuation. Did it slip through the cracks?
The Seattle Times has repeatedly tried to get a hold of Coach DeBoer, who now is at Alabama. He's not responding to multiple requests for comment. Troy Dan. Okay, so listen to this, though. Washington's own policy. So the student athlete handbook says all student athletes coaches, and staff must report known or suspected violations of the social, community, and athletic responsibilities to the athletic department administrators, who can suspend the student for more serious issues, which would include a criminal investigation. Because I know that some people were like, well, he wasn't convicted. He's just being accused. I mean, and this could open up a whole Pandora's box if you just need an accusation to be suspended. There's enough information that you're like, this person should not be.
This is 2024, not 1984. There is no excuse. We are better today. We've had these conversations numerous of times. As a matter of fact, if you're a Husky fan, a Husky football fan, don't you guys remember it used to be we only recruit the OKGs? Remember they used to say we recruit our kind of guy? Yeah, if you're a Husky fan, you know what I'm talking about. That used to be a thing. Chris Peterson, that was his thing that he started. The OKGs. We only recruit the right type of guys. Careful. Careful when you start making those bold declarations and statements, right? It's interesting, Ursula, how the University of Washington football team, I mean, you want to talk about at the end of December was on cloud nine at the top of the world. Here we are barely 4 months later, and here we are to this right here. This is embarrassing. And by the way, a lot of people texting in with the, it's innocent until proven guilty. I know that. That's in the court of law. You are innocent until proven guilty. But the problem is, for so many years, there has been such cover-up when it comes to these type of topics in the sports world that this is good why point. We are having an overcorrection a day. Let me repeat. For many, many years, women weren't believed because it was the star football player and or basketball player or whatever type of player. So don't miss me with the all innocent until proven guilty. Yes, in the court of law, but as you represent a football organization, you should have to sit down until further notice.
Okay, still ahead. We've got Sully joining us. We're going to be talking about the light rail project to the east side. I'm going to be honest. I am kind of excited about that one. So we'll have that next on the Gia and Ursula Show.
I'm their conduit, and I'm glad to do it.
Not just our conduit, but he's also one of my favorite people on Earth. Chris Sullivan is here.
Why is Sully playing the OJs?
Oh, no.
It was guest request over there.
It was a request from your conduit.
Oh,
seemed a little bit on the nose today.
No. Well, let's talk about light rail service.
Okay, let's go.
I am actually really excited about this. Every time I drive to the east side, go through either of our bridges, I'm thinking, this is an amazing view. And I get it that it's tough driving back and forth. But now we're going to have light rail service beginning later this month.
On the 27th of April, we are going to have light rail on the east side. It's not the full meal deal that we were promised.
So how much do we get?
We get 6 miles from South Bellevue to basically the Microsoft campus, all exclusively there through Bellevue and Redmond. Eight different stations, 6 mile route to get you up to Microsoft. It's basically because that part of the line is done. And so they're like, okay, let's start this starter service, get people used to seeing light rail trains and maybe providing the service on the east side. And we have to wait until it gets across the lake, which, of course, is the big enchilada, to getting light rail to go from downtown across I-90 and to tie into this starter line, because that is still running 5 years behind schedule and well over budget. And one of the reasons is the contractor gave them bad concrete. So I remember I went onto the bridge like in 2018 or 2019 as they were laying down the tracks. Everyone was super excited. Well, the concrete blocks, they're called plinths, that hold up the light rail line on the floating bridge, was all bad concrete. So they've had to rip off all the tracks that they laid. They've had to rip out all the concrete that they put in there and redo it. They're about 75% complete with that. Then comes the testing, and they're hoping by the end of next year, light rail will then get across the lake. And then we'll be able to see how this actually works, if it does anything. Because right now, it basically just goes through Seattle, and it doesn't have the, it doesn't really go anywhere. Once it gets across the lake, we'll see if it makes a difference. But right now, you can get used to it, because the starter line starts on the 27th.
Very cool.
Yeah.
First of all, you said it goes from where to where, though?
Basically, South Bellevue. Right as you get off I-90, if you get off at Bellevue Way, there's a big transit center right there, brand new station. It'll go there, go through the tunnel. They built a little tunnel under red that takes you under downtown a little bit, and then it pops you up right outside of City Hall, goes across 405 at City Hall, then runs up basically Bell Red Road at grade. So people better, like, who were familiar with the crashes we get on MLK with the light rail line there, right, when it's running at grade, mixing with cars and pedestrians. It'll be doing that through that, then parallel up to 520, and then it pops up right there at basically the Microsoft campus. And then the next year, it'll also then go all the way down into downtown Redmond and terminate there.
Mm.
So, but that's not coming until next year. But yeah, this little line's only 6 of the 14 miles promised under 2008's ST2.
You know, Sully, first of all, you do such a great job with this. You were on location. I want to ask you about that. I want to know how they treat you when you go there. I'd assume that you get the red carpet, like you pull up like Coming to America did when they throw the flowers down. But anyways.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
When you talk about this, I want to just be very honest with you. It sounds good, but I don't believe it.
Yeah.
So why is that? Why is it that no matter what, all of these plans, I am so jaded that I just don't believe it?
Because they never come off like they're supposed to. They never get done the way they were designed to do. They never come in on budget. They never come in on time. Because there's a lot of different variety of reasons for that. Sound Transit, as its own, has a really bad hit track record. I mean, let's not forget, it started basically right in the late 90s. And then in 2006, they basically said, oh, by the way, the first 10 years of our existence and all the money we spent doesn't exist. We're starting over.
Yeah, I'd love and to they be able reset to do my own all budget of
their,
like
yeah,
that.
Then they reset all of their dates so that from 2006, if it's on time and on budget, that just pretends the first 10 years didn't exist.
To make it look good.
To make it look better. Because they've asked us for so many billions of dollars. We've been paying into this for 30 years almost, and it really hasn't done much of anything except go up I-5. And I mean, think about it. We're still getting the things that people voted for in 2008. This isn't even ST3 from 2016. And
and we talked about this a little bit the last time we discussed light rail. Who is being held accountable for these delays?
I didn't get a chance, yeah, but that's part of Jesus. And the answer is pretty much no one. Right?
And
anybody?
Why?
The perfect, I guess, microcosm of to understand Sound Transit in general is to think about what happened at the Apple Cup. Right, a month after light rail from the U District to Northgate opened, mm-hmm. when work hadn't been completed, and it ripped out the guts of the underside of the train with a full bunch of people from Husky Stadium trying to get home, and they were left in the tunnel in the dark. Why did that happen? They were running the trains under service. And this, I mean, with people on it for a month while they were going, gung, hitting things that they were supposed to cut off under the tracks, and they never went in and checked it. Who got fired for that? No one. Sure, they've had multiple CEOs and they've had different things.
Multiple CEOs and people who were brought in with humongous paychecks.
And the other thing is, in the primary reason I think, and again, I'm no expert on this grand terms.
You're the closest thing we got, so go ahead.
We do not need Dow Constantine, Dave Summers, Claudia Balducci. We don't need politicians running this company. The entire board of directors are elected officials.
Executives from different
counties. Executives from different counties with different competing ideas from different cities around the region. I get everybody gets to get up to be on the table, but they shouldn't be making decisions. This should be a board that's put together of people who know how to put together light rail lines. And then they put it together. There are so much. There's so much. Look at what's happening right now with Dow Constantine on this. He's fighting because he wants it, you know, the line to Ballard. Or we got to move it this way because it's better for the economic development of me. Oh, well, meanwhile, that's going to jack up the price. Well, the person who's on the board from, say, I don't know, University Place is like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't want to do that. Let's go with the cheaper version. And who gets their way? I mean, it's run as inefficiently as it could possibly be.
Yes.
And again, I'm not talking, not anybody personally, but those are the people that are in charge, and that's just its track record. There's got to be a way.
Mike in the 360 says, if you want to hold Sound Transit accountable, quit voting for all the money they keep asking for until they become an elected body that we can hold accountable.
Right. And you remember, this is all put together by the legislature, and the legislature was presented a bill the last couple of years to make the Sound Transit Board elected and beholden to that group, because right now there's so many different competing interests, so many different communities involved, the power struggles and things with people who aren't transit people. They're politicians, and it's something needs to be done to get this thing put together. Now, again, I'm not talking about the people who are building the projects, because they're out there doing their butt. They're working their tails off to get these projects done. That's going to be good for us when they're running. But yeah, they need to do something different to run this agency a lot more efficiently. Because again, it's our money.
I've seen a lot of gangster movies. You know where I'm going. I've seen a lot of gangster movies.
What, you thinking Nico's running the Sound Transit?
I mean,
I know you get that one. There we go.
Yes, wait, what's that music?
Oh.
Oh,
little
no.
Naked Gun. I didn't even ask for that.
That was another request.
Little Nordberg.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next here on the Gene Urso Show, we need to talk. We need to talk about the other businesses that are loved in the state. Gene Urso. Show.
I just want to just take this opportunity to say, yep, it's always a great day to be on the show, but also I just got to give love and respect to Ursula. Ursula, it has to be extremely hard to do a show with me.
No, it is.
It has to be.
It is challenging in a good way.
But
someone texted in and said, when Travis was filling in for me, you were a lot more quiet.
It's true.
So I got you all riled up.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think it was just the stories in our first segment. I think in general, we keep it together.
When you're, just so you know, Ursula, when you're not here, I'm on better behavior. I won't say my best, but better behavior. When you're here, I don't have to do that. You're in control. I just do whatever. And I think that's the balance of the show.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Ursula's going to give out the news. It is going to be legitimate news. And that's what you're here for. You're the broccoli. I'm the cheese.
Okay. Well, on that note.
What kind of news you got for us right now?
Well, we're going to talk about this new survey about the most respected or the best businesses in Washington and those with the maybe not so great reputation. So this is according to a poll from Portland-based DHM Research. And guess which company is at the top of this list?
I'm going to go with my guess that I get, because you talked about this.
Yes.
I guessed Starbucks, because I see all of you all walking around with your Starbucks cups. So I guess Starbucks. All right. What is the real answer?
Okay, the real answer is Costco. Costco came out at the top of the list. So Costco, and then followed by Amazon, Microsoft, Starbucks was there. Boeing came at the end. And nearly 50% of people who were surveyed had very positive impressions of Costco, which leads me to the question, what is it about this company. What is it about Costco that has so many people romanticizing about it? Anytime there is a story about Costco, or you talk
easy.
About the food court, you talk about, like,
it's very easy.
It's in glowing reviews.
It's very easy to answer this. Costco is the Toys R Us for adults.
Wow.
Like, that's no.
In Toys R Us heyday.
Now, I just said that, and some of you all really felt that. You remember when your loved ones took you to Toys R Us and that visit, the smell in Toys R Us. You could smell all of the footballs and basketballs, and you could see the bikes on display. Every time you walk into Costco, right? You right in the beginning, you see some new, you see some vitamins, and you see some of the latest and greatest different lotions and all that stuff. Then you might see some tickets to some Mariner games. And then you see the first thing you really see are the TVs.
Yeah.
Even though you have a TV, you still walk to see the TVs. So it is the Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Oh, plus imagine so walking through Toys R Us and getting samples.
You go there. Okay. You go there for samples.
Yeah.
And you also go there, or you're just browsing, or do you go there with a purpose and a mission? You get in and you get out.
I go there with a purpose and a mission. And I got to give, hold on real quick, I just got to give some love to, I know of all the businesses that get talked about, one of the businesses that are always in the community, doing a lot of things, helping towards homelessness, helping with our food insecurity, I got to give love to Safeway Albertsons. They do the most when it comes to that. Now, back to Costco, and I go in there. Sometimes it's a date. Like, there are people right now that, you know, you want to try to talk about your weekends, but really, you and Mildred get up, get dressed, get your coffee, and you head to Costco, and it's a date.
For us, yeah.
Sometimes it's a date. You're just walking through,
I'm
you're going
it's
through.
It's overrated. And I am going to get a lot of hate for this one, but I go in there, and I just feel like I'm obligated now to spend no less than $300 when all I wanted was a pack of bacon. I'm going aisle to aisle, and then I'm trying the samples, and then I get the samples, and then I feel this guilt, and I have to pretend that I'm going to go straight to the freezer case where that sample was just, you know, given to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me go buy that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what ends up happening, because there's just two of us in our house, is that I end up throwing away too much stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're buying so much in volume. It makes sense when you have a big family or if you have a business.
Can I tell you what
But it doesn't make sense for me at this stage in my life.
And then after that, all that long walking, that long day of shopping, you don't want to cook that night, right? Where do you go after that at Costco? The food court.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what my favorite is?
What's that?
Secretly do all the time when I'm in Costco? So in the middle, right, Ursula? The middle of Costco, the middle of all Costco's is...
They have, like, books, clothing.
Clothes. Ah, yes. Bingo!
Yeah.
I always like to see the fellas that's in that section. It's like, and then, it's like this picture of, like, hey, Maggie, how does this look on me? Looks the same, Jim. It's the same sweatpants, bro. It's the same pants, right?
Yeah, Costco clothing is becoming a thing.
Oh, people love Kirkland brand.
They love. That's what I'm saying. They be there. Like, there's some fellas right now. You're probably wearing them Costco sweatpants right there. Now, I have got
the $4.99 chickens. I get it. Rotisserie chicken. You cannot beat that. And the Kirkland brand already cooked bacon. That's so good.
The chicken pot pie.
So you do like it.
No, but does that justify my membership? Am I crazy to continue to pay for my membership?
Look at that. They must hear us talking.
You have your Costco list?
That's on
your Apple Watch.
Yeah, email from Costco.
They are listening.
I'll tell you what, though. All of you texting in with your support for Costco, it's saying the same thing. Quality items at a good price. So there you go.
There's that.
It's deserved.
Yep. Good stuff. All right. Ursula, we're going to have a guest on the show at 10 o'clock. Who are we going to have?
He's the guy who was living in his van while someone was renting his house, but not paying that rent for months and months and months.
And we have an update.
Yes, we do.
So he's going to join us. Don't get mad. I've already gotten mad for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. We do that next. Gene Ursula.